if we understood all the details of our God, if we could comprehend everything that He does, we'd be Him. That's the difference between you and I and the Lord Himself when He was struggling, trying to obey and not submit to His own mind or His own desires. I've walked in those places and sometimes still do. I want to acknowledge that without Him, we wouldn't be in this place today. Without acknowledging what He's done and why. I'd like to go back to, I would say, the last week or so of September. And in that time slot, I had a vision that I was to go to have lunch across the street at Denny's restaurant. And that was my first inkling of the process that was going across the street, meaning here. I was conscious of the men that were working on the building, and they were painting. They had all their equipment out there, their ladders, etc. And I'm having my lunch, and my eyes are constantly lifting up, looking across the street. And I was studying a book. So I was waiting for the food, and I'm constantly drawn to the men working on the top part of the building. And I finally said, "Lord, what about your process, your way of doing things?" I was concerned about the feasts, and I was kind of tempted to run probably ahead of the Lord, but of course you guys never done that, so I wanted to drive over, and I heard, "No, it's not time." And so went off and did other things, and it was on a Tuesday, and I proceeded to go back to the Econo Lodge and to go forward with what God wanted that night. Well, this did enter my heart one more time, and that was, I believe, after the feast. I drove into the parking lot, and I'm praying in the Spirit, and I heard, "Not yet." Now, He didn't say no. He said, "Not yet." How many have ever been there? Not yet. Timing is important with the Lord, but it's also timing for us to be where we need to be for the right time, the right anointing, so that His plan will unfold and not our own. You've probably heard me speak John 5, verse 19 and 30 about 1,000 times, but I'd like to remind you that it's those particular verses that have hopefully kept me on track instead of falling off the track. So I'd like to acknowledge the word of the Lord with you this morning and take you on a small journey. Because I went back to Denny's for another lunch. And that was after the trial was still ongoing where we were. There were multiples of levels of questions in my heart about whys and hows and all that good stuff. So I'd like you to take Luke chapter 22. Because I found myself again at Denny's praying a prayer that was a little bit strange, because I knew past the tabernacles had been finished. We were complete. The Lord had blessed us and given us a lot of grace. And I was blessed about that. And I remember, again, you know how sometimes God gives you a spotlight into something in His Word, and He brings it to life? And I can remember the words of the Lord to His disciples. And the words were from Luke 22. Verse 9. Where do you want us to prepare for the feast? Verse 7 says, then came the day of unleavened bread on which the Passover lamb had to be crucified. Jesus sent Peter and John saying, go and make preparations for us to eat the Passover. But the focus, verse 9, where do you want us to prepare for it? They asked. And he replied, as you enter the city, a man carrying a jar of water. Not a great deal of common sense there, is there? Would you tell your family, if you're going to have a great celebration, to go into the city and follow a man with what? A jar of water. What an idiot. I mean, you know. But they had been around the Lord for 3 years, so they knew him. Follow him to the house that he enters. Doesn't say introduce yourself. Just follow him to the house that he enters. And say to the owner of the house, not ask him, say to the owner of the house. The teacher asked, where is the guest room where I may eat the Passover with my disciples? Verse 12, prophetic. He will show you. Not a broken record, is it? He didn't say he might show you. He will show you. A large upper room, all furnished. Make preparations there. They left and found things just as Jesus had told them. So they prepared the Passover. Now, when I came in here to look at the place, I again had been praying, asking God, where do you want us? What's the room that you'd like? Because a young lady named Sandy was very cordial. Said, yes, we have several rooms available. She showed me the room on the other side of that dividing wall first. The gentleman was in there who was putting a coat of urethane on the hardwood floor. When I walked into this room, I walked in from those swinging doors there, and there was a young man on the floor on his hands and knees, right whereabouts Rick and Laurie are sitting. He had his little sander, and he was still sanding, and he shut it down, and I said, don't stop. You see, because several weeks before, the little piece of scripture that I remembered was, follow the man. He'll show you where a place has been prepared. The lady informed me that the wallpaper people had just left. The painters had been here. And now the last area that was worked on was the floor. They were still taking off the layer of dirt. Grime. God's orchestration was at work. Do you think I put all those pieces together at that time? No, I didn't. A few days later, we met again, and she took me downstairs to another room. But it was like a lower chamber, and it didn't seem to be the upper area that I was thinking of. Because I've been to the upper room in Jerusalem, and it's kind of a neat place if it's the right place. I would debate about that in my spirit. In my head, it seemed okay, but we'll leave that for the Lord. But you know, you have a knowing inside when it's God, and then you have another knowing when you're wondering, is it God? Correct? Okay. I'm not trying to give you all my failures. I'm trying to tell you that I fail like the rest of you. But I am struggling to obey, just like you are. Now, I want to share with you the dream. And I said to the Lord, I had given back the little cassette. I shared it with Bob and Peggy. And with your permission, Linda, I'd like to share what you've written. Because this was my request to Linda. Linda, would you be kind enough to write it in your own handwriting, which she did, and date the circumstances and what you have as input on this incredible cassette tape. Now, if you'll close your eyes, I'd like to take you on a ride and just rest. Chuck Caban's dream, recorded on tape August 9th, 1992. You heard correctly, 1992. Comments by our sister. I know that occasionally Chuck would write his dreams on paper and would give them to Kim for discernment, and this is true. But I don't ever remember him recording them. Although the label on the tape is in my handwriting, I don't remember doing it. I came across this tape on Monday, October 22nd, 2007, which is after the feast. When I was going through some boxes and after playing the tape, I was led to share it with Kim on a Tuesday night service because I felt the Lord telling me it was for the church at this time. By the way, it was such a blessing for me to be able to hear Chuck's voice again. We should all make recordings of our loved ones and for our loved ones to hear after we're gone. In the dream are Diana Drew, who went to be with the Lord 6 weeks before I found the tape. Chuck Caban, my husband, who left to be with Jesus March 22, 2006, Pastor Kim Bergeron and myself and Linda Caban. This is a written account of what's on the tape verbatim. Chuck is saying, I was driving on Route 33 in Chicopee, or Route 5 in Holyoke. I'm not sure which, but I was familiar with the road. As I was driving the car down the road, I was aware that the car needed oil, and I had to get to a store to get some more oil. As I drove along, a thick fog rolled in, and I couldn't find where the store was, and then I realized that the brakes were gone on this car, and that I had no brakes and no stopping power whatsoever. And I was traveling at a great rate of speed, and I had to look for a hill that I could slow the car down somewhere in this fog. I turned onto a side road that led down a hill into a gully. As I went down the hill, somehow the car had turned around and I was going backward, and the car stopped in a low area. As I got out of the car, Linda got out of the car, and there was a house, an L-shaped house, there, and where the back of the car was the bedrooms of the house. We entered into the house. There was a woman in the living area and in the bedroom area. There was a man sleeping in a bed The house was connected to a church. As I walked into the church with Linda, Kim Bergeron was preaching at this church, and Diana was there also. The church was filled with people, and they were about to receive communion. And as I went down for communion, I noticed that the servers were wearing three cornered hats, colonial hats, and it seemed that they had some type of a uniform on. As we were coming back from the communion, I don't believe that we received communion, but as we were coming back, Satan attacked Diana, then myself, and we went down on the floor. And at that time, we were accused of being phonies, and Kim from the pulpit told us to go to the back of the church, into the vestibule, which we did. As Diana and I were praying there, somehow we walked back down to the front of the church, and Kim and my wife, at that time, were under attack. They were off to the left side of the pulpit, at this time, in a little area, and they were thrown to the floor. And Kim turned to me and said, "Now, it's your turn," meaning that we should pray for deliverance for them. And Diana and I both prayed and cast off the spirits that were upon them. The end of the dream. A lot of food there. And I remind you that dreams are spiritual. Their intent is to educate us. When I drove on this land, I noticed that it was L-shaped. Another piece of the discernment was that connected to a house, which was the house of prayer. And there's a lot of things about God that are not always understood. But I realized that if that tape had been given to us earlier, Diana would not have been with Chuck. That was the most awesome part. Diana and Chuck are together in the heavens. They're able to do things that you and I could never do for ourselves. The more I pondered on this dream, the more I realized that it was very possible that he wanted us here. The more I questioned the Lord, I said, "Lord, I don't want to go by somebody else's dream, even if it is 15 years old. I want to obey you. I want to obey you." A week ago Sunday, two people had visions. One of them was Gail Noe. She saw the 12-mile aqueduct. I've learned Tuesday morning that on this piece of land, it had a history. Linda had another vision. In it, she saw water towers. And she saw them connected. The history of this particular piece of land is before the construction of the High Point Inn. This piece of land was where the water tower that fed the city with 12-inch water pipes started from. I have photographs of it. I was overwhelmed. 12-inch, 12 miles. Water for the city. Water for the city. Are you catching on? What is God saying? When I told the manager of this building about these visions, "I'm interested," he said. I said, "Okay." Then he said, "When you're all together praying as a church, would you do me a favor? Would you pray for the man upstairs in the corner office? His name is Bill." "Bob, is that true? Would you do us a favor, please? Those of you in the back, we need to obey. Come on up. We need to obey. We're not going to wait any longer. I want you to do me a favor. We need to pray for the man that's managing this building. Come on, kids. We need to gather with you. You're a part of us, and we're a part of you. We don't always do it like you, but would you all stand, please? This is not a normal church service. This is to be blessing the house of prayer and the purpose that he has set us into this place. Lord Jesus, we come before you, believing that this man needs prayer, that you have orchestrated a mighty miracle to bring us here. You are the author and finisher of everything, and the reason why we're here is because of you. Because we would have not set this thing in motion had we been disobedient. You provided a marvelous, marvelous gift from Chuck. Even though it took 15 years to be completed, it's not hard for you. Lord Jesus, we pray for this man that's in that corner office named Bill. Hakim Hosel Kalyabi si otoliki moshe oratele. Halyabi kuroselo anyaniki moye tukusha. Hirukile oye orase loya lea. Alanyani kolyam kusi urichima hatele. Orabe kiato sakolaite. Ola lile kanyana yela koyo toshie. Ore rosatole te konye tukaya iye. Anyani mishikwea sia. Say, Lord Jesus, we release a blessing upon Bill. We thank you for preparing the upper room. We thank you for the honor of praying for the house of prayer and its future destiny to release water. Living water for the entire city, for your glory, for your glory, for your glory. Father, let it go. This living water, let it go. To the north, south, east, and west. This is the high point. You chose this high point to make us living water that goes out to the north. That goes out to the east, west, and even the south, Lord. Let it be blessed because of you, the living water, and pour out of us the abundance that you've given us for your glory. In Jesus' name, we pray. You may be seated. A lot of times when God does coordinate, we don't comprehend the fullness of it. I spoke to Pastor Jay several weeks back, the orchestration to have him come on the 13th was set into motion. When I spoke to the manager of this place, her word was, we're to meet on November 8th. I scheduled it with Bob, and we were to come on November 8th. She called a few days later. Would it be okay if we did it next Tuesday, which was the 13th? I was blessed because I knew that Pastor Jay would be here, so we would have a first-hand look at what we believed might be God. When I say might, it's not a word of doubt. It was waiting for the confirming voices to come together and the hearts to be in harmony. When he came in and he was looking at what we had chosen, because we had already met with Bill, Bob and I explained to him what the circumstances were, the financial commitment, etc. And he agreed. He says, yes, this is a marvelous upgrade for the little bit that you're going to be giving extra on a weekly basis. They also have given us a privilege, which we did not expect. We did ask if it was feasible to give us an area where we could store the stuff that belongs to the church instead of having you girls lugging every single day that you come in your cars and down the hall and up the stairs and all that good stuff. And to my surprise, the lady that's in charge of repairs or cleaning handed me a key this morning. And it says House of Prayer. It is downstairs, and it'll be our area to be able to put our stuff in, so we won't have all this extra work that now will be a part of the past, I pray. What's next for the House of Prayer? I don't know. All I know is Chuck said that the vehicle he was riding needed oil. He's got to buy some. Just do me a favor. Would you repeat after me? Lord Jesus, we need oil.
Lord Jesus.
We need Holy Ghost oil.
We need Holy Ghost oil.
And we are going to pour it out. Inside of the motor of the House of Prayer. So they'll go where they're needing to go. And get to the places of destiny that you have in mind. Amen? Notice the brakes were broke. What does that mean? Going too fast. I can confirm I've had that dream before. Several months back. And I had to ask the Lord to forgive me. Now, what is God doing with you? What is He doing with this group? This leftover. Do you ever feel like a leftover? Well, you are. You're the leftovers of wherever you were before. We are leftovers. We are a remnant. And being a remnant is not something that is ugly in the eyes of God. Being a remnant is that you will take all of your experiences and coordinate them to help us to get to the destiny that God wants for us. Why? Because there's safety in a multitude of counselors. What is God trying to do with us? I don't know. But I know the one who knows. His name is
Jesus.
And if I keep my eyes on Him, I will follow Him. And whether I stay standing or falling, I will follow. Why? Because without you, I'm not going to be a church. I'm going to be one man. And without me, you will also falter. I have a gift to give to you, but you have a gift to give to each other and to me. I need each and every one of you, but you need each other. Oh, you say, well, what about the kids? We need them too. What are you going to do with the kids? I pray we're going to lift them up. I pray that there will be down the road marvelous things for them. That's my heart. What is He going to perform for us? I don't know. But I'm willing to follow. See, it says very clearly, where do you want us to prepare for it? Verse 9, they asked. He replied, as you enter this city, a man carrying a jar of water will meet you. Follow him to the house that he enters, and say to the owner of the house, the teacher asks, where is the guest room where I may eat the Passover with my disciples? He will show you a large upper room, all furnished. Make preparations there. They left and found things just as Jesus had told them. So they prepared the Passover. When the hour came, Jesus and his apostles reclined at table, and he said to them, I have eagerly desired to eat this Passover with you before I suffer. Is suffering a part of your future? I don't know. Has suffering been a part of your past? Maybe. Is there more suffering down the road? I don't know. But I know the one who knows the answers. Divine appointments are created by God's Holy Spirit to get us to where He wants us. I believe that He has a destiny for us. How long we will be here, I don't know. But I can tell you this, we're going to do our utmost to obey. And should He send another man with another jar of water, and the Lord says, follow him, what are we going to do? Okay. Pastor Jay said, the cloud has moved. I was blessed. And if you haven't had the privilege of listening to what he had to say, go on the internet. It's already there. It was neat to rehearse a little bit of it, but I didn't have a great deal of time. But I am going to go back and listen to it. What is God saying to us today? What is He preparing for this house of prayer? I believe He's trying to let us know that He is in charge. And as we continue to hold on to each other and hold on to Him, we will complete our journey on time. Will we do it everything right? I doubt it. In case you forgot, the disciples got into a few hassles, didn't they? Were they made out of flesh? So are we. Will we do it all to your satisfaction? I doubt it. Because of the flesh part, not because of the Spirit. I believe that as you continue to obey the Holy Spirit, we will not find it difficult. We will find it a marvelous grace to be here. Would you bow your heads, please? Lord Jesus, on that incredible day, you made an incredible declaration in verse 14. When the hour came, Jesus and his apostles reclined at table, and he said to them, "I have eagerly desired to eat this Passover with you before I suffer. For I tell you, I will not eat it again until it finds fulfillment in the kingdom of God." I repeat, I will not eat it again until it finds fulfillment in the kingdom of God. After taking the cup, he gave thanks and said, "Take this and divide it among you. I tell you, I will not drink again of the fruit of the vine until the kingdom of God comes." And he took bread, he gave thanks and broke it, and gave it to them, saying, "This is my body given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same way, after the supper, he took the cup, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood, which is poured out for you. But the hand of him who is going to betray me is with mine on the table. The Son of Man will go as it has been decreed, but woe to him, that man who betrays him." They began to question among themselves which of them it might be who would do this. Also a dispute arose among them to which of them was considered to be the greatest. Are we going to be tested after today? Yes. Will we be discussing whether this was a good move or a bad move? Will we have all these questions in our hearts like they did? Yes. Why? Because we're human. Do we submit to the human part? Or do we overcome by looking to Him? It's going to be up to us. Amen? And amen. Father, as our Savior poured that wine, I do likewise, believing that you will just release to us the grace we need to go forward. Also, Lord, as angel wings have been prepared for us today. Isn't this intense? I ask that you would just release this and make it to be what you declared it to be, the body of Christ. Father, I believe that as our Savior was broken, that our brokenness will release grace to many. In Jesus' name, I declare the blood of the Lamb to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And as we take this communion this morning, that there will be harmony in our hearts as we flow with his body and his blood to cleanse us from all the questions and to create in us a desire to obey. Without him creating that desire, it won't happen. Do I get an agreement? Thank you, Lord. Come. Come and receive his body and blood. I'd like to give you a few additional scriptures for divine leadership. How and why he leads his people are seen in Deuteronomy chapter 8, verse 2. Remember how the Lord, your God, has led you out of the way of the desert these 40 years to humble you, to test you in order to know what was in your hearts, whether or not you would keep his commands. Deuteronomy 32, verse 11. Like a mother bird teaching her young to fly. Like an eagle that stirs up its nest and hovers over its young, that spreads its wings to catch them and carries them on its pinions. Deuteronomy 32, verse 12. The Lord alone led him. No foreigner or no foreign god was with him. Psalms 27, verse 11. Psalms 27, verse 11. Teach me your way, O Lord. Lead me in a straight path because of my oppressors. Psalm 77, verse 20. 77, verse 20. You led your people like a flock by the hand of Moses and of Aaron. I'd like to stress there was only two for over 2 million people. Sometimes we don't understand, but God definitely is on the job. No place beyond the reach of his hand. Psalms 139, verse 9. If I rise on the wings of the dawn, if I settle on the far side of the sea, even there the Lord is, right? Verse 10, even there your hand will guide me, your right hand will hold me fast. Proverbs 20, verse 24, Isaiah 63, 14 confirms it. Last but not least, Mark chapter 10, verse 32. They were on their way up to Jerusalem with Jesus leading the way, and the disciples were astonished, while those who followed were afraid. Those who followed were afraid. Again, he took the 12 aside and told them what was going to happen to him. Again, he told them. Many times I've learned over the years, I learn by my mistakes. I wish I didn't have to, but that's how it works. I pray that I don't make them again. But even now, we look to him.